Hi, I'm Kat.
And I'm Emma.
If you love the Dead Parent Club podcast, you can help support its future using the Acast supporter feature.
Now, it's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment. So if you can and you want to, please do hit the link in the show description to support now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Dead Parent Club podcast. And today we are joined by Emily, who is the founder of Untangle, which is a grief community and companion app that helps people navigate all the emotional and practical challenges that come with life after loss.
Basically, the founder of something that we wish we'd had when we first experienced grief. So Emily, it is a great joy to have you alongside us, and thank you so much for everything that you do for the grief community.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and same right back at you guys.
Can you just take us back into your story, Emily? You said, you know, through your grief, you decided this needed to be done. Where did your grief come from? What happened?
Yeah, so my grandpa died, and we were very close, and kind of went through supporting my mum and my grandma with... Basically, I mean, I'm one of those people that goes straight into practical mode. So kind of went into trying to help them go through administering the estate, you know, working out what probate is. And I found it so stressful. I remember sitting with my mum, kind of going on Google, trying to work out what to do. And there's like so many articles and so much information. And then I had all these questions and didn't know where to turn and where to go. And then we started, you know, doing things like trying to work out, did we need a solicitor? How much inheritance tax do you need to pay? You know, all of those kinds of questions. And didn't know where, like, which services to use and who to trust. And I thought, like, that was the practical bit. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, there needs to be a place you can go to just help you through this. Like, when you have a baby, when you get married, when you're training for a marathon, you can download an app and it basically helps you do that. Why doesn't this exist for this like really hard, really overwhelming moment in life? So that was kind of the beginning. And then obviously once I kind of was going through all the practical, all the emotions like really hit as well. And it's a really isolating experience. And I was like, it would be great to connect with other people who are going through something similar, who are kind of my age and having to do all this stuff. And that was kind of the beginnings of Untangle. It's like, how can we help people with all of the aspects of grief?
It's a mad one, isn't it? Because there's almost so much information out there that there's too much that you just become a bit like
overwhelmed.
Like, where do I even begin? Like, and you just don't have time to scroll through like every single article everywhere. So I think it's amazing. I think it's something that is really, really useful. And I'm looking forward to kind of digging into more about Untangle later, because I know you guys have experienced some like massive growth over the past couple of months as well. But I think one of the kind of nicest things we like to do on this podcast, which I think was one of the reasons so many people love coming on about it, is talking about their parent. So we'd love to start with kind of like you taking us back to, you know, what your granddad was like and life with him when you were younger, and kind of how those relationships and that relationship impacted you after he passed away.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I should say it's like, it's a strange one. And I was thinking about it before, like grandparent and parent, obviously different, but it's also dependent on like the relationship you have with that person as well. So, and it's one of our big things, like just because your relationship is different doesn't mean that your grief and your love and your connection is any kind of lesser or, but yeah, so my grandpa's called Harold. Actually, my other grandpa died recently, but Harold was kind of like my close grandpa on my mum's side. He is one of those people that is like incredibly generous to the point when it kind of made you like cringe. Like you'd go out and you know, every time I saw him he had some kind of present. Every time he went out he insisted, he'd like run up and give his credit card before you'd even sat down. Like, but in a way that was so kind of like larger than life. And yeah, just a really lovely person, very funny, had like loads of kind of witty one-liners, which is actually quite interesting because since he's died, actually my grandma started saying them all, which is really nice. But it's so weird because, like, you know, he said, used to be like, every time you order water, for example, or you have a glass of water, he's like, don't drink tap water, like fish do funny things in it. just these weird, you know, these little funny phrases, and now she says them all. And so yeah, really, really warm person, and always had a lot of time for you and kind of each of us as well, like all the grandkids.
What was your relationship like with him individually, you know, just you and your granddad?
It's in a way, it's like, I feel a bit kind of bittersweet about this because I think as I was moving into becoming an adult, I didn't get an adult relationship with him. I had like a teenage and child relationship, and I sometimes feel sad about that because I think it would have been quite different. But when I was younger, it was just very affectionate and kind of really like looked up to him. We used to, you know, spend lots of time. I have lots of memories of, they used to go to America in the Christmas, like, and kind of hibernate in America. They're probably like Jewish grandparents, basically going to Florida, you know, like the movie scenes when they're wearing sliders and glasses walking around the pool. And, yeah, so very much that. And I just really remember he had a really distinct like smell, which I can't describe, and I'll talk about this later, but I once smelt it since he's died. But we just kind of spent a lot of time like doing things together. So whether that was like going and getting food or just, I always remember kind of being in Florida with them and like sitting by the pool and like just nattering away when I was really young, or like going to get ice cream, just kind of doing things. So I don't think we didn't have like deep conversations because I felt like I was a lot younger. My relationship with him, he very much viewed me as a kind of younger child, but we spent a lot of time together and that was really lovely.
You know, you said your relationship changed with him as you got a little bit older. I hope you don't mind me asking, but how did it change? And the reason I ask is because I think we grieve regardless, but actually depending on the relationship or how a relationship changes, it can almost affect the emotions that you feel with that grief.
I think there was a period of my teenage years when I didn't see him as much, like in my early teens, you know, the stroppy period. And I do definitely regret that a lot now. And I do try and see my grandma more. And then as we got older, I think we talk more, you know? So go to their house and like we'd go, he always sat in his like big recliner chair in the front room and I'd go sit on, they had like a leather sofa and sit next to him and we just talk more about life. He always, there was always a checklist of like, how's work or how's school? Do you have a boyfriend? It was always that. And we'd always, I don't know, just kind of chat away. And it was, yeah, it was interesting. Like at his funeral, I remember having conversations with some of his friends and them telling me stories of him like joking around when he was younger. And I didn't get that side of him. Yeah. That's what I feel was missing in a way. Like that's what I feel sad about particularly, that because I think he was very kind of paternal with me. Like he always was really proud of me, like always told me how proud he was and always kind of wanted to know what I was up to. But I don't think I got as much, like I didn't ask all the questions, do you know what I mean? Because I was a child and a teenager, and then so I feel a loss around that very much.
Were you surprised by like the impact that those types of losses and that grief can have on your life, like as a whole? Because you didn't really prepare for it, do you? Like, you don't really expect it to kind of be such a huge impact.
It was funny. I mean, like, we knew he was dying for like 10 years. Like, he was kind of a hypochondriac in a way. So he always, I remember when I was like 12, we were meant to go for dinner, and he's like, I'm not coming for dinner, I'm dying. And then this went on for like 10
years. I can resonate, to be fair.
Yeah.
So there was always this kind of sense that he was dying, even though there wasn't anything, he had lots of things wrong with him, but nothing specific in a way. He was a really heavy smoker for like his whole life, like, you know, 80 cigarettes a day. And then about 5 years before he died, he quit, which was amazing, because he, at that point, you were like, why bother? But So I think I was very aware that at some point he would die, but I didn't conceptualize it. And when he did die, I was relieved for him, because he was ready to go and he wanted to. And actually, it was really sweet. So it was my grandparents' 60th wedding anniversary. Wow. And my grandma was like, please don't die. Like, please wait. Oh. And he must have, because he died on the evening of their 60th wedding anniversary. Mm. So there was, he was holding out in some way, but he kind of like, he did want to die at that point. And I think he was kind of waiting for us to give him permission. I don't know if that, even if that's a thing, but it felt like it was a thing.
From all of the stories that like I've heard from doing this podcast, that is 100% a thing. Like, I experienced it myself, like, definitely.
I did as well, because my nana, who I was extremely close to, I kind of saw her as a mother figure. I lost my mum when I was 18, but before that, me and my nana had always had just such a close bond. She was my world. Mm. And I'd travelled from Leeds to the hospital. It was about an hour and a half, the hospital that she was in. And she actually waited. Like, she was dying. She was dying. They were like, you need to come, she's dying. And I literally got there, and my granddad still reminds me of it now. This was like 2 years ago during lockdown, because otherwise I'd have been by her bedside the whole time. Mm. I got there, I told her I loved her, and she kind of like just smiled, and she knew I was there, and then passed away. And I really believe that where people can, where they're able to, they will hold out for their loved ones.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. And it was, I had a strange feeling, because my grandpa, like, he was so proud. So, you know, he always dressed well, even when he was not very well. And he didn't like to see, like, me to see him suffering at all. And I'd go visit him in the hospital, and I could tell he really didn't like it. And obviously I wanted to see him and I wanted to chat, but there was almost, his pride overrode his desire to see me. And so when he was dying, like, the last few days, I went in, he was like, please, like, don't, basically, I don't want you to see me like this. And it was really hard, but we said our goodbyes, basically, I mean, if you could call it that. But then I chose to not see him like the last kind of day or so, because it was what he wanted, which was really hard. But it was, I felt like that was my way of kind of honoring him, was to kind of not see him in a way that I know, like, he'd specifically said, like, said his goodbyes, kind of really didn't want me there, and didn't really want, like, my sister and stuff there either. So it was, but yeah, in answer to a previous question about grief, actually, I think, like, my first response was I just went into, like, practical mode. That's my kind of cope. I'm one of those, like, coping strategies, you know.
And high functioning.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I think it's just like some deeply repressed is probably the, because I don't know how functional it is, actually. But
I do. I still do it to this day.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, it's not lost on me that I've been like, oh, I can set up an organisation to help other people as a way of dealing with my own, you know, and I facilitate some of our support groups. And, like, I've literally run, like, hundreds of support groups. I've spoken to thousands of people and heard their stories. But when I'm facilitating, it's not about me. So I'm neutral and I'm just asking questions. And actually, in a way, I know that I'm doing a lot of processing through hearing other people's stories, but it's almost like a safe way for me to do it, because I don't have to expose myself and go there. You just don't really, I didn't really know what to expect. And it just, it hit me at weird times. So I was, a few months later, I went away with a friend, and we were in Bali, and I went into a shop, and it just smelt like my grandpa, and I just burst into tears. And, like, this poor woman who's running the shop, like, this tourist comes in, it was a beautiful shop,
what have I done?
And I was just bawling my eyes out, and she just didn't know what to do. And I think for me, it was like, it was this kind of, you know, it just bubbled up at random moments. And I think that's still to this day, like how I would just randomly, I get waves of it.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Do you get a lot of people saying to you, I say this because this is what I get all the time, oh, like, it must really help you, like, process your own grief, like, doing this, like, it must be really good for your own grief. But I know you mentioned that it was for you, kind of when you're facilitating those conversations, but I find that, like, I have, like, podcast me, and then I have, like, actual real life me, and I'm like, actually, I do a lot of, it's a really good way to talk and discover more about myself, which I've really enjoyed. But when it comes to actually processing my grief, like, I actually have to, like, carve time out separately to do that away from this. Because, yeah, I feel like, yeah, like, you know, it's not, even though I'm talking about myself now, but it's not about me. Do you know what I mean?
It's like my rational kind of logical brain is like, oh, right, that's how you, why you feel that. And that's when I talk to people and I'm facilitating. Basically, twice a year or like once a year, I just randomly have a day when I can't stop crying. And it happened about like 2 weekends ago, actually. And it's just, and it's like I could just go, kind of, you know, doing untangle, kind of facilitate, understanding grief. And then, I was like lying on the sofa crying. I was like, I don't know why I'm crying. And it was actually, you know what? It was the day that Deborah James died. And I think that just unlocked something. And then all of the emotion, all like grief that I feel kind of came up. And that basically happens. It's like at the time I'm like, why am I crying? I don't know why I'm crying, but I cannot stop crying. And that's basically what's going on.
I think you do well having one day a year of crying, Emily.
I want to connect with that feeling more, and I struggle to. And actually, for me, like, I sometimes feel, I feel sad about the fact that here was this amazing relationship I had with this person who I love so much, and it feels like I can't access, like, the depths of my emotion because I'm so used to functioning in a certain way, and that makes me sad, you know? I want to feel it. So so actually, I'm quite envious of people that get that do cry often and, you know, that comes out.
So talk to us about Untangle then. Like, at what point did that become real? Because I know that there's a heck of a lot of background work that goes into creating something like that. And, you know, you have to get the tech right. You have to get the user experience right. You have to make sure that you're actually reaching the right people. Like, how did that come to fruition?
So I've been thinking about it for a while, and it wasn't until a couple of years later that I was like, you know, I'm going to actually set this up because it is a big thing to do. And actually, when I first started, I interviewed like 50 people about like the most difficult things that happened to them in their lives. And basically bereavements comes up all the time. And just got a sense of, like, am I the only person that's experienced this, you know, really hard time? And, you know, over and over again, basically was told, like, no, it was really hard for me too. So I kind of wanted to, like, validate that there was actually a need and it wasn't just my experience. And then I went through a tech for good business building program. So basically they help people like me who have an idea and want to do something, but that's like for good and using technology for good. And so that was that there for like 9 months. And that gave me like a bit of time to basically start setting it up. And then I'm kind of just learning as I go. So I applied for an Innovate UK grant and won that. And that gave us a bit of money to like get going initially. And it's just been a case of trying things out. The first version of Untangle was I went on Facebook groups and basically asked people, did they want to be matched to other people that have had a similar experience of loss and also get help with the practical tasks. Mm. And on my phone, like my WhatsApp logo was the Untangle, the very first Untangle logo. And there were a couple hundred people, matched them into like groups based on who they'd lost. And then I was like, hey, I'm a chat helpline. If you have any questions about like what to do, I'm here. And that was the beginning. And then basically since then raised a little bit of investment, have grown the community. So we now have like almost 14,000 members in the app. And the big thing as well was to make sure like it's not just like a, you know, some fintech company where you can just do whatever, you know, everyone is really vulnerable. So it was so important to get the safeguarding right. And like, you know, most tech companies, the other people that kind of were in that program were just like throwing things at a wall and seeing what stuck. Yeah. But actually we've got Lizzie, who's our safeguarding lead, Dr. Elizabeth Paddock. She's like a national safeguarding officer for the Samaritans. Mm. She's a psychotherapist. She's amazing. And created like our safeguarding policies. And so kind of had to do all that work first to make sure that it was a really supportive place. And then over time it's grown. There's still loads of plans ahead. Like I want it to get to is basically, you know, we're talking about waving all that information, like where the vision for Untangle is, you know, you download it, you answer some questions, and then every week we help match you to the right support. So, you know, whether that's a support group or we say, hey, listen, you just need to worry about planning the funeral right now. And here's an amazing funeral director. And, you know, we've matched you because of X, Y, and Z, and you're similar to, it's, you know, 5,000 other people that have also joined and they loved this funeral director. And every week, you know, helping you, do you want us to close your accounts? Great, we'll do that. So taking all the stress away so you don't have to you don't have to work out what to do. You're basically told, but you're given enough information that you can navigate it. And then all of the community support and the amazing like support groups and connections on there as well. So that's kind of the vision. We're on our way there, but we're not there yet.
Emily, I hope you're proud of yourself because, you know, even the way you've broken it down there, people will go on and access this help and they'll have no idea of the hard work and dedication that's gone into it behind the scenes. And like, I know you probably won't want to accept it or anything, but that's truly unbelievable. What you have done, the hard work you've put in to help others is remarkable. So thank you from everybody in the grief community that you're helping. Can you just explain to us what people can access? What's on there right now?
So we have three main things. We have a community. So on that, you can join groups based on who you lost, how you lost them. We have Helen, who runs Lockdown Grief. So she runs a COVID loss group on there. And we started working with the Loss Foundation and they run cancer support groups as well. So every week we have at least three video support groups and events with experts like therapists or solicitors. And some of those, like on Friday lunchtimes, we do a 15-minute drop-in. So you can just come in if you're feeling a bit low or you're having a good day and just share it with the group. Mm. So all of that. It's basically 24/7 support. You can chat to anyone in the community and it's all safeguarded and moderated. And I think that's really important because, you know, you go on like Facebook groups for grief and you've got like, you've just got a lot of dodgy people on there basically.
And also, a free for all.
Yeah,
basically.
It is a free for all. And the other thing is, you know, and it does happen. We have people who are feeling suicidal and when you're on a Facebook group and someone's feeling suicidal, as another member, you feel a bit responsible. But because we've got our safeguarding team, you know that they're going to be taken care of. And I think that that's quite important when you're coming feeling griefy to a community and you want to chat. Okay. and feeling isolated, to know that actually everyone else in the community is going to be taken care of. So that's, we have the community, and then we have a care team. So it's essentially, you can chat through the app to our care team. So if you're feeling a bit low and you want to talk, or you're going through all that practical stuff, so, you know, what do I need to do? Where do I start? How do I value the estate? How can I get a house remover to help pack up mum's house? Like, all of those questions we can answer. And it's just, it's the thing I wish I had. It's like, you know, how do I actually just get an answer to this question? And we work with like solicitors and financial advisors and things, so we can check everything and make sure that we're giving you the correct information from experts. And then the other thing is content. So we have lots of videos and articles, and it's kind of structured. So, you know, we have, what do you do in your first week? How do you plan a funeral? And in the how do you plan a funeral, there's things like how to emotionally prepare, you know, how to finance a funeral, how to what's your practical checklist when you're talking to a funeral director? It's all of the different angles, all the emotional, all the practical, the financial stuff. And we do that. So it's first weeks, planning a funeral, you know, closing accounts, claiming insurance, all the way through to memorial planning. And it's all really structured content, so very easy to use and navigate. And, you know, I was saying, like, the vision is that actually you don't even have to navigate that content. It will just be served to you depending on what you need. But we're on our way there.
That's amazing. That sounds incredible.
And that's all free, I should say, as well.
Amazing.
I know that you guys have obviously seen the community grow massively, like, just as we have over the past, like, two or so years in particular. I think we saw that you'd had, like, a 300% increase in members during the first lockdown, was it? So, like, how was that emotionally, sort of seeing all of those people kind of filter through needing that support at that time? Because it must have been really difficult.
It was a really crazy time, because we were just starting, really, when lockdown was happening. And we'd done the research, so kind of knew what we were creating. I think, actually, the WhatsApp groups had already happened by the time the pandemic hit. And then, yeah, launched the app, and it was strange because I knew from personal experience that there was such a need for support. Yeah. I think suddenly with the pandemic and everyone being really aware of grief and losing people, there was like this strange, like, oh my gosh, this is a thing that everyone else is experiencing too now. So in a way it was kind of comforting in a really weird, sadistic way. But it was also, there was kind of panic stations, to be honest, behind the scenes. And I remember, like, I was staying at my boyfriend's mum at the time, like, pacing around her house being like, need to move faster, need to build faster. Like, and I guess, you know, from the tech and the business, almost the organization, like, my role has always been to kind of drive it forward and try and constantly be creating things that help people and creating more things that help people, making sure that we're funded enough that we can do that. And so I just felt this, a lot of pressure, to be honest, to keep trying to grow and sustain so that we could support more people. And I still feel that, because I still think there's so much more, like, I've so, you know, these plans for what, how we can improve the support. There's so much more we can do. And it's just a constant, like, race to try and support as many people as we can and improve the app as much as we can so that it is serving everyone's needs, and everyone's different. And I think that's one of the most exciting and challenging things about building Untangle, is like, actually what we're trying to do is say, whoever you are, whatever you need, wherever you are in your grief, we're going to help you get the right support at the right time. And that's different for everyone. And so, like, a lot of what we're trying to do is understand each individual person and their needs and then how we can match them to right services. So it's kind of a lot of data, to be honest, behind the scenes. But that's probably not the thing that, you know, that as a user, hopefully, that you feel.
What's your demographic like? Is it quite a lot of young people, with it being tech?
You know what? Our biggest demographic are kind of in their 50s.
Brilliant.
Which is, and that was kind of partly intentional and partly not intentional. So in their 50s, often have lost a parent, a partner, or a child. And then we also have kind of a secondary demographic who are probably our age, and have often lost a parent or a friend. So, and it was really, that's one of the things that's been really important. Like, I really want Untangle to be for everyone, but for everyone to find the right, their people that get them as quickly as possible. So the more people we have on the platform, the better, because, you know, for example, we have a suicide bereavement group and we've just launched a child suicide bereavement group. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, losing a child to suicide is different to just, I'm not saying just to minimise,
no, but I understand.
Losing another relative to suicide. And so the more people we have on the platform, the better you can, and more quickly you can find the people that really, really get you. So
it's one of those things that every loss is different, but everyone as a human needs the same thing, which is like to be understood and to be heard and to be around a community of people that can help. So it's one of those different things, you know, it's all a bit, you flex with it.
Emily, can you stay a part of Untangle Grief for as long as you want?
Yes. So we have people called grief mentors who are community members who've been with us for like a year, coming up to, you know, over a year and a half, like basically since day one. Mm-hmm. And they're people that just feel kind of in a place where they want to support others. And they are amazing. So they welcome other people into the community. They're kind of like the beacon of hope that, and hey, look, you live with your grief. We all know, like all of us know, that it doesn't go away, but it becomes manageable and, you know, most of the time. And there are kind of grief mentors basically are there to say, hey, listen, like I've been where you are and it's okay. And yes, it's bloody hard. But, you know, we're here. And so it's really lovely. We've got this amazing community. But you can stay as long as you want. You don't have to be a grief mentor. You can stay as, a community member and just chat to other people and get that support.
How much time, Emily, do you get for yourself? Because I sense from what you said that your whole life is pumped into Untangle Grief.
Is it your full-time job? Do you do this full-time?
Yeah, it is. It's like full-time all the time. I'm obsessed with it because I just care so much about it. I'm like, this is so hard, this time of life, and it's harder than it needs to be because there isn't support as well. Yeah. It's my full-time job, but also I probably spend, you know, most of my evenings and probably a lot of the weekend. And my boyfriend will say normally the first 2 days of holiday when I'm trying to get things done, which he's very understanding about, because I really, really believe in it. And I think that there's such a need, and I don't know, I care. I just really care about making this easier for people, and
I know you can tell.
Stop it. I'm going to cry if you say things like this.
Your desire to help others literally beams out of you. Like, you are a wonderful person. You can tell that you genuinely want to help other people, and to give so much of your life and dedicate so much of your time to doing that, it's remarkable. I'm genuinely blown away by how dedicated you are.
I feel really privileged to do this because, like, I genuinely feel lucky. Like, so through the pandemic, every Sunday morning, I facilitated our peer support groups. And, you know, you get up on a Sunday at 10 or whatever, and, you know, sometimes I'd be hungover and you know, there were days when I thought, oh, I don't know if I can handle this right now. And you just after an hour of chatting and everyone just sharing their stories and their feelings. Oh, sometimes we just sit in silence and everyone cries, you know? I always, always come away from those groups feeling lucky that I get to be with people in these moments and that they feel safe to be vulnerable and trust each other in these groups. And like, I constantly I feel privileged that I get to be with people at these like really tough times. So yeah, it's the community that make Untangle what it is, and I'm really grateful for them, so, and everyone in it.
Is there any, like, what's one piece of practical advice that you would give to a young person listening who has just lost a parent or a parental figure or someone who meant a lot to them in their lives?
Practical advice, I mean, you don't have to do everything at once. Is probably the biggest piece of practical advice. So, you know, if you are the executor or there's no will and you're having to do everything, just you don't have to close all their accounts, you know, contact the bank, plan a funeral, sort through all their things at once. Exactly. Take your time and don't make any big decisions in the first 6 months. Just sit on things is probably my best piece of advice.
And can I remember, what was your granddad called? Was it Harold?
Harold.
Yeah. Can you tell us what your favourite memory is of Harold?
Ooh, it's a tough one. The thing I always think, so we... really painting a picture of him, but he was a member of a golf club, so and always used to go there for Sunday lunch, and he'd always get, he's really diabetic, like, for a lot of his life, always get fried eggs, chips and sausages, and I just, and that literally there was always this, like, grandpa, you probably shouldn't do that, and he's like,
you probably shouldn't.
Yeah, but, and I think I just really remember sitting at this, like, big round table with him, him eating that, and us just chatting. And I think, so in the golf club, all the other kind of, you know, families come out. And he was so proud of me. And I don't think anyone has ever, I don't think I've felt like someone feels that proud of me ever in my life. A bit emotional talking about this.
Yeah, it's lovely.
And you know, and all the other families would go past, and he'd basically, you know, he'd be like, "Oh, this is Emily. You know, this is my granddaughter." Yeah. And tell them about me. And I think just sitting there and having that, feeling that sense of kind of him, like kind of showing off about me was just like the most amazing. Yeah, I've not felt that feeling from anyone except for him. So. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Do you feel like he'd be proud of you for what you're doing, Emily?
I hope so. I hope
definitely.
So.
Definitely. Who wouldn't be?
I think he definitely would. I've never met you before today, and I am. So I think your granddad would be.
Thank you. To be honest, I think he'd probably be pestering me to have grandkids at this point.
leave the app, Emily. Yeah. Stop
grandkids.
Priorities.
Yeah.
Emily, you've been an absolute joy. Thank you so much for chatting to us. And like we say, thank you so much for everything that you do for the grief community. Untangle Grief, go to your app store. You can find it, and all the help is there and accessible for you for free.
Can you let us know as well, Emily, where they can find you on social?
It's also at Untangle Grief. Give us a follow. We're almost at 60k followers. This is like a big milestone for us. So give us a follow. But we're kind of really like lovely supportive community, and thanks to you guys as well, because it's everyone in the grief community that's creating a space for people to come in.
Amazing.
Feel heard and normal and like understand this really strange thing that we are all kind of going through. So thanks to you both as well, and thanks for inviting me.
Thank you
Emily. Keep doing the good work.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.